Hey everyone, this is Tommy Smards, and I'm so glad you're joining with us today. If you're part of the South Towns family or new, we would love to connect with you on our many social media platforms or our website. If you're in the neighborhood, stop by. We invite you to worship with us live. I hope today's message will encourage you and inspire you to draw closer to Jesus. Let's get to the message.
Thank you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. We glorify you, Father. Father, we thank you for this time this morning, just in a few moments to be able to lift you up and exalt you. Lord, as we now get ready to sit and hear, Lord, what you would say about worship and the importance of it, Father, help us to remain open, help us to take in all that you would say to us, Father. Deposit the revelation knowledge that is needed to become a people of worship, to be warriors of worship, to live a lifestyle of worship. Oh, Father, we seek you in this time to show us and reveal the truth of it. We love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap as you grab a seat this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. You can go ahead and grab a seat. Just want to welcome everyone once again to be with us this morning. It's a little bit different than normal. A Christian's going to come up and we're going to just have a very candid conversation about praise and worship and the importance of it. And I'm believing that God will teach us and show us the importance of it and how we're to engage in it. And so I hope you enjoy it. If you have any questions afterwards, please let us know so we can continue to help all of us grow in this amazing thing that God has given us, and that's the ability to worship. And so we're going to jump right into this morning. If you're new with us, thank you for being here. This is a little bit different than what we normally do. We do praise and worship up front. We do the word, and then we minister at the back end of service. But you know what? God doesn't always do everything the same, does he? And so it's okay to switch things up. And so I would thank you for being here with us for the first time. We would love to connect with you and just kind of, you know, get to know you and answer any questions you may have about us. There's a card in the pew that you can fill out and drop in our offering on the way out, and one of our pastors will contact you. So it's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. And so it's an awesome day. He's grabbing his microphone. And so I'm excited for this. I know what God was doing earlier, and I believe that was just the beginning of what God wants to do here in this service. And so before we jump into it, you know, many people don't know this, but I think it's important for you to know this, that I didn't just meet Christian. Actually, I met Christian about 25 years ago when I was the youth pastor, and a girl in our youth ministry brought Christian to a couple of our events. And I knew Christian when he was a teenager. And so I also knew Kristen, who was also on our worship team, when she was a teenager, and a friend of hers brought her to our youth service. And I love how God does things like that. You know, 25 years, 26 years later, here we are working together side by side for the kingdom of God, trying to build it the way God wants us to. And so you never know who you'll meet and what God will do down the road. And so it's been awesome. This journey's been great. We've worked for years together. But also, a lot of people don't realize that you are actually a drummer. And so why don't you share a little bit about your calling into worship and how it started and evolved to where you're at today.
Oh, what I've been through. yeah, what he alluded to, playing drums, that is my first love. I fell in love with drums before I fell in love with my wife, and I was 9, 10 years old. I began drumming. My grandfather was a drummer, and I just kind of picked up the sticks. I picked up his sticks and just kept going with it and played his old drum kit. And a bunch of years later, as I developed and took private lessons and really honed in on the skills there, I began playing for the youth group. I played for an outreach team that went down to Buffalo, St. Luke's Mission. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Yeah. But we took a team down just about every month and worked just in the mission field there, just providing music and meals and clothes and all that. And then through the years, you know, obviously playing for the main worship team at the Tabernacle in the auditorium there, under Bishop Tommy Reed, and also working alongside Amy Reed Sitch, and now Bishop Stearns. So it's been quite a journey, and I never thought back when my 17-year-old self, 18-year-old self, what I ever thought that I'd be doing what I'm doing today. I was in the drum cage, comfortable and just happy, just super happy, just being there and just not in front of everybody and just providing the beats, just providing beats for worship. And it was fun. I loved it, and I didn't want to do anything else. But God had a different plan. And Pastor Dennis Shearer, as you know, my spiritual father, has, saw something in me at that age, as 1997 through 2000, within those years, saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. God saw something in me. And how many of you know it's good to have spiritual fathers and mothers, mentors in your life that might see something in you that you don't see, to really begin to draw those gifts out of you. So I'm forever thankful for Pastor Dennis. But from that point in late 90s, early 2000s, I've been on stage leading worship, playing drums here and there. I actually had to play drums for the Tab last week because I didn't have anybody. So that was fun. I was getting all my stress out from the COVID stress out. Easy on your back beat, Rainville. I was like hitting that snare like it was my job. But it's been quite a journey ever since then. The 90s, 2000s, became worship director at the Tabernacle and a co-lead worship leader alongside Amy Reed Sitch. And it's been a blessing, and it's been a school for me there. And now God is using me in a greater capacity that I didn't think. I'm able to help churches out. I'm able to go coach and mentor, and it's been quite a journey. And then there's even more to it than that. And writing a curriculum for a university, for crying out loud, which has been quite an honor to do. So it's amazing. So,
yeah, and we also have the privilege here of him working with our team and growing our team into the DNA that God has for this house. And so it's been a blessing. But we've been talking, and because we feel that sometimes when we go to church, we see people singing or the band starts, and what are they doing? What does this mean? Why is it just a song? Why are people raising their hands? Why is someone kneeling in the aisle? Why did someone just run around the church yelling Jesus? That's old school days, but we don't see that much more. But if God had to do that, then God would do that, But so we wanted to be able to answer questions that I think will help us engage in worship and help us grow as individually as worshipers, but also as a church. Because I believe that worship really sets the atmosphere and the tone for an outpouring of God's presence. It charges it. It does something in the heavenlies that opens up the heavenlies where there's an outpouring of God's presence, and then there's a tangible evidence of God moving on his people. And that's what I believe. And so I think it's important for us to really define worship, understand it, understand the Holy Spirit part of it, spontaneous worship. So let's jump into this. And I think the first thing that before we do anything is answer the question, how can we define worship, or what worship is, the meaning of worship in today's church culture? How would we define that?
Right. And even before that, if you don't mind, I'd like to share a scripture. And it's a scripture, it's very common, everybody knows this, but it's Psalm 150. And it says, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heaven, praise him for his mighty works, praise his unequaled greatness, praise him with a blast of the ram's horn, praise him with the lyre and harp, praise him with a tambourine and dancing, praise him with the strings and flutes, praise him with a clash of cymbals, praise him with loud clanging cymbals, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It doesn't say in there anything running around the church, though. So praise him with running around the church.
Wrong translation.
Wrong translation.
That's the wrong translation.
But in that scripture, it's really pointing to praising him with everything we've got. Whatever gift that we can bring to this altar of worship, bringing something, offering something. That's why we call it a sacrifice of praise. And worship to me is simple. It's worship is a response. If you're taking notes, that's a good time to take notes. Worship is a response to who God is and what he has done. Worship is a response to what he's going to do. How many believe he's still working on your behalf and he sees everything?
Amen.
Everything. Every battle that you think you're going to face, he's already won it. He's already defeated the enemy. Worship is a response. Worship is our identity. In Isaiah 43:7 says, God created us for his glory. He created us to worship. How many of you remember that Chris Tomlin song, Made to Worship? Anybody remember that song? Old song, Made to Worship. We are made to worship. 1 Peter 2:9, I love this because this tells us, when you read the scripture, it reminds you of who you are in Christ. And it says this, 1 Peter 2:9, we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into his glorious light. Now that is a prayer I pray every morning, and I just declare that, and I remind myself who I am, because sometimes our self-talk is terrible. Yeah. Like, what's coming out of our own brains and out of our mouths, like, it's terrible. We're very negative a lot of times. And it's okay to be positive and declare that you are the sonship of the Lord. You are the daughtership of the Lord. We are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. And when it says generation, that's not just the current up-and-coming generation who have TikTok syndrome. TikTok Tourette's, I call it, because they're, I mean, it's still just doing all these. It's just too much. It's a lot. But, you know, that is a generation that I believe is a Judah generation. That's another story, another sermon for another day. But I believe we are all one generation, everybody living on earth at the same time. We are the chosen generation. The iPad went down. There we go. Worship is our destiny. We will end up as children of God in the kingdom of heaven. When we're saved, when we have been purchased by the blood of God, we are automatically members of the kingdom of God, and we are no longer citizens of the earth, but we are automatically citizens of the kingdom of God. We are living in eternity. The moment we say, Jesus, you are my Lord, you died for me, I serve you, you are immediately into that eternity realm, the kingdom realm.
Amen. Amen.
So when anybody asks me my political affiliation, kingdom.
Right. Amen.
Kingdom. Worship is intimate. How many of you know you can get emotional when you worship? You should feel emotion when you worship. God built that into us. Pastor Dennis and I went through a book called Emotional EQ or IQ, and it just talks about self-awareness, self-talk, all that kind of stuff. But we have an emotional IQ, and God has built that into us. He's given us something to be in touch. He gave us emotions for him. So when we're in a worship experience and we feel that overwhelming experience, and you know what? Musical excellence is part of that. Like, if you hear music and it's really good and it moves you, that's part of it. But really, when the Holy Spirit grabs a hold of you during a worship service and you feel that tear run down your cheek, it's okay.
That's right.
And let's get rid of the stigma right off the bat that men shouldn't cry. Man, I cry all the time.
Amen. Amen.
It's okay. You gotta let those banks go. Let those tears flow, because the Holy Spirit wants to do something in you, and it's just cleansing when you cry just out to God. And it could be out of happiness, crying for happiness, crying out for joy, crying because you know that God is taking you through something, taking you through a season. Right?
That's right. Right.
Worship is emotional. And finally, I'm just going to say worship is life. It's not just a Sunday experience. Worship is life, and we're going to get to that.
Amen. Amen, right? I love what you said about emotions. We are all emotional. If you spend 5 minutes with me, you will realize I am emotional. I am strong. Like, right now, I'm, like, fidgeting because I'm just... You know, it's just who I am. And I think, like you said, though, sometimes when you're in worship, and whether you're singing as loud as you can or you begin to weep, it's okay. It's okay, because it's God is doing something through that move. And so don't try to, I found for me personally in the past, I would try to not allow that to happen. And when I tried not to let it happen, I was actually losing out. It was affecting me. I was losing out from what God wanted to do. And I love the whole crying thing. I'm, you know, you try not to be, but I'm a crier at times too. And I find if I'm in a state of worship, my hands are raised, God begins to move, and I become overwhelmed, begin to weep. It is a cleansing. It's almost like you can feel a weight being lifted off of you. I think it's so important for us to understand that. And I learned a long time ago, I'm not concerned with what
someone around me sees, if I'm crying or not crying, if I'm kneeling or not kneeling, because it's not about anything other than being with Jesus and worshiping him in that moment. And so which leads us to our next question is, you know, how important is it for us to not be consumers, to not be watchers, but to actually be participators in the actual engagement of worship in the church? Through the worship is more than just singing. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But the actual engagement, and then how do we take it to a lifestyle of worship? Well, how does that whole evolve from, you know, because we just can't, well, we can, but, you know, I think there comes a point, we just can't be walking around singing out loud all day long, 24 hours a day, but then it has to go to a lifestyle. But it really starts with us engaging and saying, I'm going to do this.
Right, so engaging in worship is definitely, it's challenging for some people. It's very easy for some who don't even care how they sound. They don't care how they sound when they sing. They don't care if they're clapping off beat or not, you know. And you know you're in a vanilla church when it's 1 and 3, not 2 and 4. This is the day. But I'm just... So
I'm a double guy.
There you go. But some people just don't care, and I love that. I love that free expression of I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to worship God. Nothing's going to stop me. And until it gets distracting, and then
that's right.
It's a whole other topic. Paul talks about orderly worship in the Scripture in Corinthians. But engaging in worship for me as the worship leader, standing where I'm standing, looking out, I said this in last service, I love the folks who congregate in the front and just they know that that's an open invitation to come to the altar and just surrender to God in that moment. I love that. But for me as the worship leader, I'm looking past you to the guy in the back or the woman in the back with their arms folded, maybe not looking like they had a great weekend. You know, maybe you came to church and it was nothing but a shouting match. Got your kids are running, making you run late, and that makes me crazy. Running late is, it's one of my pet peeves. But, you know, bad week. Listen, we're all dealing with a lot of stress right now. Right. I'm a teacher. My wife's a teacher. And it was a tough week. Tough week. And for parents having to navigate this whole world, trying to get their kids engaged, it's tough for parents who are at home with their kids doing that. It's craziness. So, you know, there's times where I don't feel like I want to worship, but I have to really try to extend myself out there and say, okay, Lord, okay, the main thing is you deserve it. And that's my simple answer. Why should we engage? Why should we participate? Simple as this, because he deserves it.
Amen.
God deserves our praise. God deserves our worship. He deserves our attention. Okay. It's very easy to get stuck on this thing and scrolling like crazy and you know, getting yourself all aggravated because people post nonsense. But if I'm spending that much time doing that, why can't I stand in a service and at least just close my eyes for a second and just abandon myself? You don't even have to sing. You can just close your eyes and just say, okay, God, speak to me in this time. I really don't want to sing right now, but Lord, work in me right now. I want to be engaged because I serve the creator of the universe. He made me to worship. Therefore, he deserves my worship. He deserves my praise. And engagement looks different in a lot of ways. A lot of people, it's different.
That's right.
And it's okay. Okay, you do not have to be singing the loudest. Okay, you don't need to be like singing the harmony in the background. You don't have to like none of you could just simply just stand there and say, okay, I'm abandoning myself to God in this moment. And I'm going to receive what he wants to do. So engagement, and we can talk a lot about that. All these topics today could be like a full 2-hour conversation.
Right,
so.
Right. You know, I think you really hit it on the nail on the head when you said that worship looks different for everybody. So for a person like me, when Sunday morning starts, I'm take 2 steps away from the pew, away from my wife, away from my son or my daughter who's with us at service that day, away from them, all alone. That's me. But the person who wants to sit and just put their head down and close their eyes, that's okay too. You don't have to be standing in the sense to worship. You don't need to be as close as you can to the altar. You don't need, it's a whole engagement of what's happening on the inside, because how many of us know that things that are happening on the outside don't always relate to what's really happening on the inside, you know? And so someone can just be staring off and you think they're not paying attention to you, and then all of a sudden they rattle everything that you said word for word for the past half an hour, not miss a beat, but by the outlook of it, they weren't even engaged, and that goes with worship. So if you're not a singer or a clapper or, you know, that's okay in the sense of being vocal, outward bound like that. It's what's happening with your heart, what's happening on the inside, how you're engaging with what God wants to do that day. Amen? Amen. So be encouraged by that.
And just to add to that, if you study Scripture and you look at throughout Scripture, there's many words used for praise and worship. There's actually seven words, but one word in particular is barak. And in Hebrew, that means bless. That means to kneel, to adore, to bow before the king. And that's just one expression of worship that we're talking about. You don't have to be vocal. You don't have to make a noise. But if you bless the Lord and you're kneeling and just adoring him in that moment, that's a way to bless him. That's a way to praise him.
Amen. Now, I know like instruments are a key part of praise and worship, right? That helps engage. You can even say the lighting. You can set an atmosphere. You can, you know, do all different things to set the atmosphere for worship. But I'm a firm believer that the most important part of worship is the involvement of the Holy Spirit. And so how do you view, or what would you say, you know, is the importance of the Spirit of God and Holy Spirit moving, you know, especially with us being a Spirit-filled, Spirit-believing church? You know, would you explain worship in the aspect of the involvement of the Holy Spirit?
Well, the Holy Spirit, as part of the Trinity, you know, we're always blessing the Lord, we're thanking Jesus, but the Holy Spirit is equally as important as Jesus and God. The Holy Spirit works as an agent of unity throughout the body of Christ. Just grab a hold of that, the agent of unity. Hey, when I'm leading worship, or Kristen and Phil are leading worship, it's not the Kristen and Phil show. It's not the Christian Rainville show. It's us just being a tool for the Holy Spirit to use to engage the congregation, because at the end of the day, the goal is for me and Kristen and Phil and you guys and Pastor Tommy to all be singing together as one, because it's not from the stage to you or from you to me. It's all of us to him.
That's right.
And it's vertical.
Right.
It's not horizontal, it's vertical. And I always, when I teach on worship to worship teams, when I go and coach, I want them to get the idea and make sure they grab a hold of the fact that you are not the leader, Jesus Christ is the leader.
That's right.
I always look at it as if Jesus Christ was on a worship team, I honestly feel like he would be standing in the back interceding for whoever's leading the song, just blessing and exhorting with a smile on his face saying, yeah, do it. You know, go for it. Go after it. You know, he wouldn't need to. I mean, look how he came to earth. Very humble. Okay? And so we are meant to be unified by the Holy Spirit. And when he directs the worship service, when we allow the Spirit to direct the worship service, and you guys all kind of sense that, how many of you have been in a worship service where you felt something is definitely happening?
Yeah, amen.
Something is happening. Something is about to go down. Okay?
Yep.
Okay, if you've felt that, experienced that, that is the Holy Spirit urging all of us to respond to something. And that's why you see sometimes the worship team maybe take their hands off their instruments or go off the table, and that's the next topic, go off the script a little bit, off the page, and say, okay, we're going to wait on the Lord here for a second and allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do.
Yeah, I think that's important to talk about because, you know, in church, our team, a lot of people don't realize what goes into a Sunday morning service. People just think you show up and it just all happens from them just getting here in the morning and throwing a couple songs together and saying, hey, we're going to do it this way. And, you know, it's so much more than that. They're picking songs during the week. They're practicing. They're practicing at home on their own. Their part, then they're coming together and practicing either on a Thursday night or Sunday. They get here at 7, between 7 and 7:30, and they're practicing before service starts. They're taking their gift, and they're they're exercising it and making it the best, you know, to do it the best way they possibly can. But sometimes you can have the best, you could be the best guitar player, you can shred it, you could be the best piano player, Paul's with us this morning, or you could be the best bass player, singer. But the reality is, what makes it the best, it takes it to a whole nother level, is the Holy Spirit, which we were talking to. But then sometimes what happens is, you're playing it a certain way, and then all of a sudden you'll notice then the song all of a sudden takes a different turn. And you'll hear the worship leader say, hey, let's worship in our own with our own voice this morning. Let's worship and let's sing our own song unto God. And it can be used for a bunch of different terms. A lot of people will like to use it and call it as spontaneous worship, prophetic worship. There's different terminologies for it, but sometimes if we don't know or understand what's happening, it can actually break us from the total engagement. But let's talk about that, because I think that is so important. To when that happens, there's an engagement again on our behalf that we can go a whole nother step deeper and follow where God wants to go. So why don't you share a little bit about spontaneous worship?
So early on, as I started leading worship, that was an uncomfortable place for me to be in. The whole idea of prophetic worship or free worship, it scared me, because that meant, as a type A individual, very organized and structured, that meant there was no plan. There was no order except for God's order. And I would stand there and not know what to sing, not know what to do. But again, as we allow the Spirit to be that agent of unity, and really, I think there's been a lost art of waiting on the Lord. I think a lot of times, even when we pray, it kind of bleeds into our prayer life. When I pray sometimes, it's nothing but me. I'm just praying, talking. It's just nothing but me. And we have to draw our focus off of ourselves and say, okay, God, what do you want to say back to me? And that might require us to be quiet. And sometimes even in a worship service, we might just totally be silent. I've been in worship services where you could hear a pin drop, and this is in the middle of a worship service. You could hear a pin drop, and all of a sudden, there's a response, an emotional response, like I talked about before. You just hear people start weeping. Sometimes it's even funny. Sometimes God will strike that funny bone, and people start laughing. And, you know, there's just that moment where, like, okay, God's basically telling you, shut up for a moment, let me do my thing. Let me settle in this place, because the worship has created an atmosphere, but now that Spirit wants to just rest on us, and we just need to wait and be patient. And it's uncomfortable, because we want to be comfortable. As human beings, we like our comfortable spot. We like to sit in the same seat in the pew. We like to have our own space. We like to worship the way we worship, and sometimes we refuse to be stretched. The Spirit wants to stretch us. God wants to stretch us. And that free worship time is a time of stretching, of God saying, okay, this is what I'm doing, and this is how you can respond. This is where it's okay to just be expressive, and you don't even have to sing anything. Just speak out, God, thank you. Hallelujah, you are awesome. I praise your name. And just exhort the Lord. Edify each other. The best thing to do during those times to try to get into a habit is just speak the attributes of God. God, you are good. God, you are my Savior. God, you are my shelter. You are my provider. You are strong. You are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. And as you just keep doing that, the Spirit's going to stir something in you. And it's going to, I mean, you, the sky's the limit. The sky's the limit. Once you guys get going on that and we really practice that. And listen, like all things, things take practice. You have to get used to things. And if we want to be a Spirit-led church, if we are really inviting God to do something here, we need to be open to those times.
That's right. Yes, I agree 100%. Because worship is not just a straight line. It's not just, let's go from point A to point B. Worship isn't just, you know, church services are scheduled out. Let's, you know, pastors don't say these things, but you guys know me. I just say it. I don't care. They're scheduled out as best you can. But where the problem comes in is if the Holy Spirit and God begins to move, that if you don't allow him to move and you stick to that schedule, that's the danger part. And worship is no different, because worship is not a straight line. Worship is not four songs that is set out to be 22 or 29 or 31 and a half minutes or 30 minutes, 22 seconds, and then you're done on cue, because it just doesn't work that way. If we're being honest and if we're worshiping God, we have to be flexible and realize worship isn't from point A to point B. It's like you said earlier, it's a river, and it flows and it winds and it goes back and forth. But we have to be sensitive enough as worshipers to hear what the voice of God is and trust in our worship team, that these people, our worship leaders and our team, has been praying and seeking the face of God for what God wants to do here, and that they're being obedient to lead that Sunday morning service, because there's going to be some movement, there's going to be some jockeying, and it's okay not to, it's okay to change a song because we're sensing something's different. We can't, you know, I know sometimes we post our songs on social media to let everyone kind of know what's happening, what songs will be, but don't get upset if you come and two of the songs aren't played because in the middle of worship, they sense something different, and God was going to take us in a new vein, because in this new movement, there's going to be someone healed of a disease, or there's going to be a marriage restored, or there's going to be a financial window open and poor. See, that's the important part, but unless we're engaged in participating, we may fall short, and that goes with songs, right? And I think it's important that we realize, you know, the song choice is important, and we have to realize that the song choice needs to fit the house and the DNA of the church itself, because every church is individually different. Okay, I have friends who are pastors all over Western New York, and they're in their church services, their worship doesn't sound like ours. Well, which one's right and which one's wrong? Neither. They're both right. Why? Because they're fitting the need for their house. You know, we should celebrate that. And so when it comes to worship here, you know, we're looking to build the continue to build off the DNA that we're called according to our demographic in the worship of Jesus that best fits us as a church family and who we are as Cell Towns Christian Center. And it's important for us to know that, because you get those questions all the time, don't you? Why don't you share a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. So, well, I get, you know, we get requests sometimes. You get requests and, you know, you should do this song, you should do that song. And, you know, when I listen, and I do listen to them, like I'll listen to some people email me a song or hand me a CD, which honestly, I don't even have a CD player anymore.
I don't either.
What happened to CD players? but they'll hand me a CD. I'll honestly listen to these things, but I'm listening to the content. I'm not listening to whether the song moves me musically or not, because there could be amazing musical songs that are just amazing. I mean, you'll hear them all the time, and you just connect with them. But in a worship setting, you really have to pay attention to the content, and is that content scripture? Because, as I said before, this is songs, we're singing songs together to glorify God vertically, but if the songs we're singing are I, me, 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 that's not glorifying to God, that's bringing the attention back to ourselves. We want to bring all the attention in corporate worship to God.
That's right.
And it does matter. Song selection does matter. I mean, I love the song Reckless Love by Corey Asbury. I love it. I don't do it a lot unless the message fits it or whatever. I don't do it a lot because really that's a song that's looking back at me. A lot of the hymns reflect scripture, and that's why a lot of the older generations, why don't we sing these hymns? Why don't we sing that? Because they're great. But we want to make sure that we're staying current with what the Holy Spirit wants to do, not so much what the world is doing, not so much what Bethel's doing and all that. We want to stay current with what is the Spirit saying now in this season? Not what he said in the 80s or 90s, but what is he saying now? There's songs that exploded in the Buffalo Revival when Pastor Dennis was leading it, but we don't do them anymore. You know, there's all the Darlene Check and Hillsong stuff, still great songs, still great music. And every now and then we'll pull them back. I just surprised the audio team and PowerPoint team last service by pulling an old Daryl Evans song out of the blue. And, you know, and it still works for those moments. But we really have to pay attention to content. What is God saying now, and is it scriptural? And that's basically how, when I look at songs, new songs coming up, Let's face it, a lot of songs out there sound similar. They're all the same because they're playing the four same chords, and as a musician, it makes me crazy. But they work corporately, and they're scriptural, so they work like Lion and the Lamb. Great, great song. Okay. Is it my number one favorite song in the world? No. But it gets us going, and when I'm singing and leading it, I'm singing it to God. I'm like, yes, you are the Lion. You are the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. And it's great because we're connecting to those words, and God is connecting to that worship.
I know this is off a little bit, but I think you just hit something really important, that we're not going to play every favorite worship song on a Sunday morning, and that's okay, right? It, like you said, it may not be your favorite, but what are the words declaring, and how are we lifting Jesus up through that song? Because I have some favorite worship songs that, you know, I wouldn't play here because they're more on a rap hip-hop end of things, and that's not our cult. I'm being very honest. I'm being very sincere with you. Or on a very gospel end of things. I listen to a lot of different styles of music. But just because we don't do that doesn't mean that I'm going to not engage, because, again, I'm here to worship Jesus. I'm not here to worship the song. I'm not here to worship the pastor. I'm not here to worship the worship team. I'm here to worship Jesus. And I have to realize that there will be times when my favorite songs are played, my favorite worship songs that I'm playing. But again, what are the words? That's the. I agree with you. We've had that multiple, that vertical worship is so. And also that, you know, worship isn't too fast, one medium into one slow. You know, in the 90s, that was real big. If you didn't do a super fast song up front, victory chant on the drums that went 17 minutes, then we didn't have praise. No, it's not. We have to realize these things moving forward, that they can change. They're not just, you know, cut and dry. It all goes back to, what does God want? That's because if we're truly connected, what does God want? Let's do what God wants to do. And sometimes when what God wants to do, even in worship, means that we're going to sacrifice, and we may not always like it, of what our personal agenda or our, not I would say agenda, but our personal likes are. And so, so I think that's important. And then real quick, you know, how would you explain, you know, moving forward, that worship is a lifestyle. It's not just singing four songs or five songs on a Sunday morning, but worship is a lifestyle that we live. And the singing aspect is one part of it, but how do we translate what we do in here out there when it comes to worship?
Right. So, it's very easy to relate worship with, that's what happens on a Sunday morning before the speaker gets up, before the pastor gets up. Very easy to think that way because it is. That's what happens. But once we really start to grab a hold of the fact that everything we do is worship to God, when I look at back at the fathers of the faith, when I look at Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you know, Daniel, David, like all those guys that paved the way, they spent time giving God their best. And what did they do? They constantly, you read it all the time, and I'm actually writing a book, I'm co-writing a book called Pillars, and I'm looking at the seven pillars of Jacob, and he, every time something significant happened in his life, he put up a pillar, he built something. And we look at the faith fathers, and we see that Every time something significant is going to happen, they built a what? They built an altar, okay? And like I said last service, don't come up here with burning things. You know, don't come up here with a leg of lamb on fire. You know, just,
no, please don't. Please.
We want this carpet new.
Although that
new,
might put a kickstart in the growth of the church, right. They're burning legs. Right.
Don't bring burnt offerings. But when I view my life and I view everybody's life, I feel like your marriage is an altar of worship. I feel like your parenting, your children, how you parent is an altar of worship. Your job, whether you hate it or love it. I mean, my nephew is a UPS worker, and he's done well in UPS, but it's a tough job, and he's stressed, but it's an altar of worship, your job, whether you hate it or love it. You know, right now, how many teachers in here right now? Did I already ask that? How many teachers? Yeah, it's a rough start of the year right now. And parents, it's a rough start of the year for you trying to manage all that. But my job, even though it's stressful right now, I have to go in saying these kids are looking to me for guidance because they're with me now, either virtually or in person. They're with me and they're hearing my words. And I am a worship leader, a worshiper, before I'm a teacher. I just happen to, that's part of my vocation is being a teacher. And it's part of my ministry. But that's an altar of worship. So when we start looking at every aspect of our life as an altar of worship, we're giving God our best, we're trying our hardest, and at the end of the day, when you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, okay, God, I did my best. I stumbled here. I maybe said something that I shouldn't have said here, but at the very end of it all, I worship you, I praise you, I've given you all that I can give today, and I know it's acceptable because I'm giving it with a pure heart. And to lead a lifestyle of worship is that. It's not just singing. It's not just a Sunday morning experience. It's a Monday morning experience, a Tuesday morning experience. It's an all-day experience all week long because our praise should always be, his praise should always be on our lips. Scripture says it. Praise is always on my lips. And I worship the Lord and I praise the Lord. And like I said before, in the car, I mean, your prayer life is worship to God as well. When you're just loving on the Lord in that, those moments, he longs for that. Do you know that he's dancing over us right now? He's singing over us right now. He enjoys the relationship he has with his children. Amen. And he loves that. So that's why I want to, because he deserves it. I want to live my life in worship to him.
Amen. 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 You know, for the hardest time, I'm going to just share something personal. I had the hardest time singing because I always thought to myself, you're not a good singer. Well, I think I'm a great singer, but, you know, everyone else around me doesn't think I'm a good singer. And I don't know why. I put my hand up like this when I'm down there trying to stay in the harmonies. But so what would happen is I would come to church in the very beginning, and because I was afraid to let someone hear my voice, I wouldn't engage in worship. And I would look around me, and people would have their hands up and smiles on their faces, tears coming down, totally engaged. And here I stood going, what the heck? What's going on? And not engaged. And I came to realize by me not engaging, I was missing out. I was robbing God, I felt, because I wasn't doing what I should have been doing as a son of God, you know, by honoring him and loving him and adoring him and living up. But I was missing out because as my praises went up and his spirit came down, I felt like I was missing something because I wasn't engaged. And I came to the realization, and this is for anyone in the house today. Listen, it doesn't matter how good you can sing or how bad you can sing. It doesn't matter how you can clap or not clap. The whole key is, are you willing to be courageous enough to step out when we go? This is just one asset or one facet of worship, and it's just singing. But when we go to sing, will you be willing to come in with a mindset saying, you know what, I'm going to give all that I can give, and then if God has something for me, I'm going to receive all that God has for me in the simple act of worship. And what we do at church, it's just singing. And don't worry about the person around you. It doesn't really matter because they have their own things that they have to, you know, engage in and do. And it's really, you know, about you and Jesus. And we want to create a culture and an atmosphere where you're comfortable to do that, where you're comfortable to worship. And that's why even setting the lights a little bit lower, even, you know, doing those things help do that, because it just creates an atmosphere to press in. And so I want to encourage you, because we've talked about worship for about 35 minutes now or so. And what we don't want to do, and I always tell you, even when you leave on other Sundays, is we don't want to talk about it and then say, see y'all later, have a great day. But we want to practice. We want to now give God some room to move. And we want to put to work or engage those things that we just talked about. And so we plan it this way today, that we're going to, you know, go and just do a couple songs of worship. We've talked about worship. We've talked about the importance of connecting. We've talked about the importance of expression. We talked about the importance of getting to where you feel comfortable and engaging in it. We've talked about all the various things. And even when we leave here today, it doesn't end. We leave here of our worship of God. But we wanted to give a few moments of time just to press in, just to love Jesus some more. Because that's why we're here, is to love the Lord and to worship him and to adore him. And it's just a matter of us doing it. It's just a matter of us saying, you know what, I'm going to, you know, engage in this. I'm not going to, you know, watch somebody else. And so can you do that with us today? Are you willing to take a few moments? It's early. It's only 11 o'clock. We got a lot of time. And the greatest thing about God is when God shows up, who cares what anything else is going on around us? Because God, what we have, those few moments with God, supersedes what will happen the rest of the day. And so we're going to do that. We're going to ask the worship team to come on back up. We're going to sing just a couple songs of love and adoration to our Lord and Savior Jesus. And so could you do that with me? Why don't we stand to our feet? I want to just pray a little bit here and get us to... Were you blessed? Did you get something out of this today? Did you get a little something out of it? Maybe see something a little different than normal? I hope so. I know I learn a lot. I'm always trying to learn and grow in who I am as a pastor and as a worshiper of Jesus. And so we're never too old and we're never too young to learn. And so, but let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. Father, I thank you for this very candid conversation and this teaching about worship and how it's so important for us to be a part of it and engage in it. I thank you, God, that you reveal to us that your Holy Spirit is an activating agent in the worship of you. And that, God, it doesn't really matter if it's a fast song or a slow song. It doesn't matter, you know, if the music is on key or not on key, if we clap on beat or not on beat. We strive to be the best that we can be. But, God, what matters is what comes from the heart. God, that you've all called us to not be just consumers and watchers, but you've called us to be participants and to engage. And Father, I pray right now that, Lord, as we go back into just a few moments of honoring you and of worshiping of you, I pray for anyone who has struggled in the past with fears about worship, with fears about singing, with fears about closing their eyes, with fears about raising their hands as a sign of surrendering and just loving on you, God, that every fear and every concern, every chain that has held them back, Father, from participating and engaging would be broken this day. That, Father, you'd give them a freshness, that you'd revive them in the sense where they are so excited to worship. Father, let us not be worried about the person to the left or right of us, to the front or to the back. But God, our only focus is on you. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, because you've been with us this whole day, that you would continue to move the way that the Father has sent you this day. That you would move amongst your children, amongst your sons and daughters in this house. And you would do a supernatural work. Some through worship may be touched because they need a healing or a restoration. Or, Father, that those who are struggling relationally, that, Father, as they worship you, that, Father, you begin to bring a reconciliation and a healing to that relationship. And, Father, those who are so consumed with fear and worry about what's happening around them, that, God, you can break that spirit of fear off them, that they won't be controlled by it. They'll be aware of their surroundings, but it won't control them. That in this simple act of worship, God, you begin to peel back the heavens in such a manner that this house of worship is consumed with your Holy Spirit and your presence. And there's a weightiness and all transformation that needs to take place, God, begins this day. And we will move and grow in you and who you are. So now receive our praise and worship, God. We love you and we honor you in Jesus' name.
Magnify and lift you up.
You deserve it. You deserve it. You're so good to us. So, so good to us. You deserve the highest praise. You deserve it. I sing praises to your name. Praises to your name. Name that's so much higher than all names. All honor to your name. Honor to your name. The name that's so much greater than all names. Be lifted up. Be lifted higher. Be lifted up. Be lifted higher. I sing praises to your name. Praises to your name. The name that's so much higher than all names. All honor to your name. To your name, the name that's so much greater than any name. Oh, be lifted up, be lifted up. Sing, your name is life. Your name is life. Your name is hope inside me. Hope inside me. Oh, your name is love. A love that always finds me. Your name is life. Your name is hope inside me. Hope inside me. Your name is love. A love that always
is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great, how great is our God. Oh, come on, every voice raised today, sing how great. How great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. Oh, we'll see, oh, we'll see how great, yeah, is our God. Oh, you're the name above all names, high and lifted up. You're the name. Our God, He's the name above all names, and He's worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, and my heart will sing, how great is our God. Oh, come on, now's the time to just sing a song to the Lord. Sing it out. Oh, we worship you. Lift your voice and praise the King. Because He is worthy. He is worthy. Oh, open up the heavens, Lord. You are awesome, God. You are awesome, God. Come on, just saturate this place with your praise to the King. You've given us an oil of joy. You've given us a garment of praise. Oh, Father, we exalt you on high. Oh, you're worthy of all praise. Yeah. Sing this, sing. Place showers of mercy and grace, it's falling on every face. There is freedom, freedom reigns, freedom reigns in this place. And thirsty, Lord. If you're tired and you are thirsty, come on, receive your freedom this morning. There is freedom. Oh, come on, declare it this morning. Freedom reigns. Freedom reigns in this place. Shout. There is freedom. will sing, and my heart will sing, how great in my heart, and my heart will sing, how great is our God. Come on and worship the Lord this morning. He is good.
Yeah. Amen.
He is worthy.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The greatest freedom that any person can have is the freedom to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. That's the greatest freedom, that we spend eternity with Him. And it was just so in my heart. Maybe you've never asked Jesus for that freedom. You never asked Him to be your Lord and Savior. It's a prayer. You're not joining a club. You're not having a membership fee. It's a prayer, and it's you believing with your faith that Jesus is the Son of God, that He came to earth to bring reconciliation, to be the substitute sacrifice for you and I and for all of mankind. And to have that freedom to spend eternity with the Lord in heaven, it's asking Jesus to come into our lives. And it's simply saying, Lord, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I repent of it, and I turn this day and strive to be much better. And then we say, and we confess with our mouth. The Bible says we must confess that Jesus is Lord. I confess that you are the Son of God, and that you were sent to the earth, and you died on the cross, and you rose on the grave. I confess that that happened, and I believe with my faith that you did that for me. And you ask the Lord to come in. That's freedom right there. That's freedom. And if you said that today, according to what the Bible says, that you are a son or daughter of the living Most High God. Amen. You have freedom in Jesus because you invited Him into your heart. Now ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Give me the strength that I need to make it each and every day. Give me the wisdom and knowledge that I need to strive to grow as now a disciple, not just a decision for you. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life because of that. Because today you said, Jesus, come in. And if you've prayed that prayer, let me know today so we can celebrate with you. Did anyone pray that prayer for the very first time today? I could see a little bit. Anyone pray that prayer at all? Anyone pray it as a rededication prayer? Anyone? Amen. We got one. Clap. Come on now. Got some more in the back. Clap. This is a day of freedom because God is real and He sits on the throne. But while I was worshiping the Lord, sometimes a pastor will come up. I got to teach you a little bit of this because it doesn't seem weird or out there. But sometimes the Lord will give the pastor, it's called the word of knowledge. It's something that He wants to share with someone so that they can get a grasp and a deeper understanding that God loves them, that God cares for them, that God knows what they're going through. But the Lord showed me feet today. Weird. I'm not a feet person. Well, I'm not a feet person. I'm not a foot person at all. They're gross. That's why I think everyone should go get manis and pedis. This is my own opinion. But the Lord showed me feet. Here's what He did. He showed me the front part of the foot. And He showed me the bone. And there are some people in here today that their foot is being affected. And there's pain. And there's some issues going on. And I want to pray for that. Who is that? One back there. Anyone else? Anyone else? One there. Anyone else? Back there. Another one back there. See, this is showing you that God hears His people. This is showing you that God is real. This is showing you that God cares about you that much that He knows that you might have an ingrown toenail that just won't stop hurting. And so I want to pray that the Lord does a miraculous healing this day. That pain and discomfort is gone. The swelling goes away. That the bone realigns, the toe, the big toe has an issue. So can you agree with me on that today? And then we'll go into the prayer for our offering. Father, I thank You for this morning. Father, I thank You for that word. Lord, the salvation, God, we celebrate those who have come to the family, those who have rededicated, says, I want to be a part of what You're doing, God.
We celebrate that and we thank you for that. God, I thank you, Lord, that you had a word for those who are suffering with their feet, whether it's a bone, whether it's bone spurs, whatever it may be, but God, there's something that's not right in the foot. And God, you brought it to our attention today that you want to move in those lives. Do you want to do a work in that foot or the many feet that the hands were raised? Father, all I know is that your word declares that in Jesus and through the shedding of the blood, there's healing and there's wholeness and there's restoration. And Father, I appropriate, because we have the authority, as your word says, as believers, to appropriate the healing blood of Jesus and every one of those feet that are being bothered today. And Father, we declare a healing in Jesus' name, pain to subside, bones to realign, muscles to not be swollen and painful. We come against gout. We come against anything that is not supposed to be there that is causing difficulty in those feet in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the name that heals, the name that restores, the name above every name. And we stand on that name today, God, for that healing and restoration. We celebrate it and we say thank you that you brought it to our attention. And God, we sought you for healing. We love you and we honor you. God, even now as we prepare to leave this place and go live a lifestyle of worship, God, we thank you for the tithe and the offering. We thank you that we have this amazing opportunity as an act of worship to present it before you, knowing that you have provided all that is needed and necessary in our lives. And this is just a simple act of being obedient with our finances, being good stewards of it, and bringing of it into the storehouse that your kingdom, your name would be glorified and your kingdom would grow. So Father, we come joyfully today. We celebrate you. We thank you for all that you've given us. And God, we place it in the bowls believing that it will be pressed down and that it shall overflow. Many blessings, salvation to the kingdom, a continued growth of all that you want to do here on earth. God, we thank you for this opportunity. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big shout? Yes, hallelujah. God is a good God. We serve a good living God. And so thank you for being here today. Check out the website. You can scan our website for the bulletin and the atrium, what's happening. Classes have started, a lot of things happening and going forward. As you begin to see our new lighting setup, our fundraiser, we've bought sound equipment, we bought new lighting. It'll be different. We just had to be working on that. We've been working all week. New things will be happening there. We got some stuff we'll be doing in the Sunday school room for this upcoming relaunch of our Sunday school. If you're interested in helping out, we'd love to have you help out with that as we navigate reopening of our facility for our young ones. They need Jesus just as much as we do. And so we're unrolling that. And so keep praying for us for that as we figure the best and most efficient, effective way that we can present Jesus to our young ones. But you have a safe week. Thank you for being here today. God bless you. And may the word that was sown today, the seeds, may they be kept by the Holy Spirit and grow in you. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.